behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, this is the Purple Project Podcast, weekly edition. We're back after a few days off here on the podcast. This is, folks, the post-game, 24 hours to the point of K-State's close victory over her tough FBS opponent in Southern Illinois. I'll bring on Alex here right away in just a moment. Of course, the Pro Project Podcast. Listen to it wherever you get your sports or / college podcast, with that Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, Google Play, and a few more out there as well. The Pro Project Podcast, the 2021 K-State football season is pretty much underway. Two games in. K-State is 2-0, and boy, big storylines coming out of this one. Of course, usual, my weekly co-host for this podcast, Triple P, none other than Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. Let's go ahead and bring him on right now. Double A, what's happening out there?
You know, all is good out here, Eddie. In reverse today, Chiefs got a dramatic win over the Browns, so that has me feeling a little better than I was last night at the conclusion of K-State's game, even though K-State did get the win, which kudos for them. We'll dive into it later, but I was actually very impressed with the fact that K-State did come back and get that win, given the circumstances. But, the Chiefs stomped in the blood of what happened to Skylar Thompson, which we'll also get into a little bit later here. And got a dramatic win. Also, Eddie, there's a couple things I wanted to bring up because it's been a little while since we talked. So the first thing I wanted to say was just, first up, congratulations to the four new schools in the Big 12. Congratulations to BYU, UCF, Houston, Cincinnati. I know that I'm excited to have them for the conference, and I'm excited. I'm excited. I think it's going to be they're really going to be four good additions in football and basketball. And I think they're going to make the Big 12 even more competitive in the sports arena. So I'm excited about them joining. And it's really cool to see how excited they are to join as well. And so, I'm sure that when you and I, when there's a little less going on, we get caught a little more into those schools joining the Big 12 and what exactly it means. But I just wanted to say it and acknowledge it because it was a big deal. It was a big deal on Friday when that was finalized. And, man, the way that some of the schools are playing football right now. BYU is rocking to start the season, beating Arizona, Utah in their first two games. You look over UCF, and they're about to be ranked over there. And Cincinnati's ranked sixth in the country right now. So, I mean, those teams they're playing some good football right now. So kudos to them there. And also, Eddie, we didn't get a chance to talk after the Stanford game. Man, you did a great job. I heard your summary of that game, and it was really, really good. I just wanted to give kudos to K-State on that performance as well, quickly, because they really came out and, in my opinion, had a really dominant performance against a good Stanford team. And I wasn't sure, Eddie. I was like, does that say more about K-State or more about Stanford? And initially, I thought it might say more actually about Stanford than K-State. But Stanford went to USC, who was ranked in the top 15 last night, and put up 42 points and got a dominant two-possession win. ESPN speaking to us right now, apparently, because I didn't have my speaker on mute, because they always do that.
Your turn.
Stop doing that. But this was a team that K-State about pitched a shutout against. They probably should have pitched a shutout against, to be 100% honest. And they go on the road against number 14 USC and put up 42 points. I mean, they put up 42 points. They put up about 400 yards of offense. And you get a two-touchdown win in the game that they dominated start to finish. And now I kind of feel like that game said more about K-State, because K-State just completely dominated that Stanford football team. Dominated from start to finish, and they left stuff out on the field. That was what was even more ironic about that game, was that K-State even left plays out on the field. That game could have been much more lopsided than 24-7. But really impressive with the way that they came out and started the season against Stanford, especially seeing what Stanford did now in week two. And that Southern Illinois game, we'll get into it here in a minute, but that was a tricky game. I said it from the get-go. That's a team that's going, that is a national title contender for in the FCS level, and they win, and they're winners, and they brought that mentality. They came to Manhattan to win a game. You could tell they weren't there just to collect a paycheck and leave. They fully intended to come and win that game and expected to win it. And you could really tell from start to finish. And you know, it doesn't get any easier with Nevada coming up. Nevada's actually favored in the game on Saturday, which is what I predicted at the beginning of the season, Andy. I said, I bet Nevada, if they win their first two games, will be favored coming into Manhattan. And so indeed they are. They're 2-point favorites coming into that game. But I wanted to welcome those four new schools to the Big 12. Super excited to have them. I think everybody's excited to have them except KU. And KU can go kick rocks, so I care. And then Stanford game, I just wanted to acknowledge K-State's play there, because they came out and they played dominant football for four quarters down in Dallas, Texas. So kudos to them. Kudos to the K-State fans, by the way, for making the trip down to Dallas. 30,000 fans go down to Dallas, or close to 30,000, and really made a really nice showing for K-State. They were loud. They were proud. Great to see. And then last night, Eddie, you were there. You were there for the home opener. They were loud. They were proud. And reps K-State. They rep K-State there. They filled the bill. You guys filled the bill. So good job. Good job, fans. Kudos to you. Tremendous, tremendous job there. But yeah, tremendous job K-State against Stanford. Tremendous job fans. Tremendous job fans last night. And Eddie, we can dive into SIU and Skylar Thompson and all things going on K-State right now.
We'll dive into those four. That's the big announcement from this week, obviously. We'll dive on into more deeper down the road. BYU, UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati joining the Big 12. Huge answer with what's been going on with all these alliances going on, but definitely we'll touch on that on a later date. This is the post-game podcast. Appreciate Alex for his insights, but good transition. Talked about refill the bill. I was there, me and the fam, last night. Great turnout. And really, when you look at the result, yeah, Southern Illinois, they came in there. So we sat on the south end zone side, the end zone side last night. And from what I could tell, Southern Illinois, they were definitely ready to play. And I'm going to get right on into things here. And I'm also going to touch on the Jordy Nelson softball game later on in the podcast, because me and Kate were also there this afternoon as well. So I will touch base on that before the show post game ends. But yeah, so I thought obviously K-State did not win the toss. They got the ball first. And with Skylar back there, obviously, I thought this was going to be one of those nights back there, connecting with Malik Knowles early on. Malik Knowles finished with over 100 yards in the game there. And right away, the first half, obviously, the offensive performance, taking a look at that, I thought we were off and rolling then. Deuce Vaughn scores. Four straight games now. Over 100 yards from that. This carries over from last year. So Deuce Vaughn keeps up the streak, and I got some more on that momentarily coming up. You'll be interested to hear what I have to say on that. That's going to be related to Will Howard. So second possession, I did not see it initially what had happened with Skylar there at the time of his horrible injury. And we all know what happened last year with that. So this is definitely heartbreaking. Obviously, I haven't heard anything, haven't seen anything obviously, on with Skylar's injury. Obviously, for those of you who missed it from last night, he attempted to throw a block there. I believe it was with Deuce Vaughn, either Joe Irvin or Deuce Vaughn having to carry.
It was Deuce. Yeah, it was Deuce.
Deuce
was asked about it. He said that he saw it out of the corner of his eye, but he didn't know what happened. So he got first down, but he immediately got up and turned back around and tried to figure out. That's how I remember it was Deuce, because Deuce was kind of walking the media through that play.
Yeah, okay, so. Yeah, when the play happened, I did not pay attention to see where Skylar was on that play. Next thing I know, there's whispers in the crowd. Then we turn around, and there was Skylar laying with his back, obviously, back to the ground. Chris Kleiman's reaction said it all. We were right there close to where, obviously, the K-State sideline, and I could see Chris Kleiman's reaction right there. Knew it wasn't good. Said a prayer. I obviously knew what's going on in that scenario. But yeah, definitely, Skylar Thompson came back. He wanted to come back on a high. I said it last week on the post game on that episode there. For those of K-State fans who missed out on that, please download that before listening to this episode of the podcast, which, by the way, this is episode 64 of Triple P. So the relationship, obviously, with Chris Kleiman and Skylar Thompson right when Chris Kleiman arrived here in Manhattan has been building blocks to a stronger bond between these two, head coach and quarterback. And obviously, we're all going to be holding our breath until this announcement. It goes up tomorrow, Tuesday, whichever one. So obviously, we'll have all the breakdown on the daily podcast. Obviously, I've been busy with with other things going on with high school football and things like that. So I haven't been able to do that lately, but hopefully get back into rhythm this week. But yeah, very, very, obviously, the crowd was silent. And everything else like that. Very, very sad to see him down there. And reports from fans and overhearing some conversations in the crowd, in his concession stands, that ACL possibility. Hey, I don't know. I'm not close, obviously, to the team. Obviously, we're only fans from a distance. We're not closer to the team than we once was. You heard us say that same before on Troopy. So there's that on that. I have Alex's thoughts here in just a moment here. But I thought definitely the game kind of turned on that sequence there. Will Howard comes in. Obviously, he scores a touchdown there. But his play was erratic throughout most of this game. Luckily, we'll touch defense in the second half there. Defense really stepped up. The K-State defense played like, well, I should say it like this. The Kansas City Chiefs did what the K-State did last night, turned around in the second half of the respective games there, and that was the difference in both games there. K-State defensively came up big when they needed to there with poor quarterback play. If it wasn't for big plays like Phillip Brooks down the field, and a couple of defensive stops there. Boom, Massey with a big sack late there. Who knows? This we could be talking about a different story, but the Cats do pull it out there. But rewind back to Skylar Thompson, Alex. What are your initial thoughts on that sequence there? And obviously, Chris and Skylar are very close, obviously. And hopefully the news is at least positive to a certain extent, but if it's what we're fearing, this could be bad news for K-State moving forward.
Yeah, you know, Eddie, talking just specifically about that, you know, we'll get into the other aspects here of the game a little bit later, because there's just so much to unpack in what happened last night. I don't think that we were expecting to have to bring so much down after post-Southern Illinois, but here we are. There's a ton of things to break down. The first one, Skylar, obviously, You mentioned it. We don't know yet what happened, but look, I'm just assuming that it's a torn ACL and that he's done for the season, and he's probably taking his last snap at K-State. And I know that sounds doom and gloom. And he's going to have non-contact injury. You know, the way his knee buckled, going down, his reaction. He was clearly crying on the field. Coach Klein was crying on the field. It had ACL tear written all over it to me. And like I said, maybe not. You know, I mean, I remember a few years ago, it looked like Mahomes had a season-ending knee injury, and it turned out that he dislocated his kneecap, and he was able to come back 3 weeks later. So, I mean, you never know. But even in that game, like, you know, reports were in that, like, hey, you know, this could have been worse. I wasn't hearing a lot of that from K-State post-game. Reports like that. They didn't say he tore his ACL. They haven't said anything, so he's getting reevaluated. But boy, just the way, like I said, those non-contact injuries, those are the ones that's kind of the giveaway, because if you get hit in the knee, you can say maybe something else happened, but it's just rare. When it feels like almost every time, Eddie, you see a non-contact injury, it's usually a ruptured Achilles or a torn ACL, and so that's the fear, and you just feel sick to your stomach for Skyler. More than anything, because he's worked so hard to get back on the football field for K-State. He is so passionate about going out on a high note and giving it his all to K-State, and he just can't be given that opportunity. And look, Fitz said it best in his post-game walk and talk after the game. He said, you know, it isn't fair, but life isn't fair. And that really is the truth. It isn't fair. It is not fair. It's not fair what's happening to Skyler. You could say to a lesser extent it's not fair to the K-State football program that they have to deal with it 2 years in a row either. But more so than that, it's not fair to Skyler. I think that's the biggest thing. And you know what? Life isn't fair, unfortunately. You know, if life was fair, it'd be a much different world. We love it. It's not. It's just not. And so it sucks. It sucks. It breaks your heart. And I think it hurts a lot more, Eddie, knowing his journey and just what he's gone through and him coming back for his super senior season, and then for that to happen, you know, he gets injured in the third game, season-ending injury in the third game last year, and he comes back, and potential season-ending injury in the second game. It just sucks, man. It just sucks for Skyler. I don't know how your heart can't break for him. And you know, hopefully, you know, Eddie, like I said, hopefully we get some. You never know. Maybe we get some good news. Case they didn't fully shut the door on that. You know, Chris Kleiman did say, you know, that it's likely Will Howard's team for the foreseeable future. And so, you know, we'll see what happens there. But man, hit a huge, huge blow, especially when you look at this K-State team. And like I said, this is more about Skyler than the football team, and I definitely don't want to take away from that. But when you look at this team around K-State, it is a better football team this year than they had last year. I mean, plain and simple. I can tell you that, Eddie, 2 weeks in. It's a better defense. It's a better offense. It's a more complete football team. They've got more playmakers. They can do things that they couldn't do last year. They're deeper. They're faster. They're more athletic. And they're more explosive. And just to not be able to get that opportunity for Skyler to play with that club, that group, which could arguably be the best roster that he's had at K-State, for him not to get that chance, it sucks, man. It sucks. And so, you know, like I said, you never know. Maybe we get some good news. Maybe Skyler can return later in the season. And, you know, he was walking on his own power in the locker room, which was encouraging, potentially. But I take it with a grain of salt, because I've seen a lot of athletes walk on torn ACLs before. So
right.
We'll see what Coach Kleiman says later in the week. But man, it's a blow for K-State football. They got the team, they got the roster to really potentially make a run. I think that's evident these first 2 weeks, but more so, just sucks for Skyler, man. It just sucks. It just sucks, and you know, your heart breaks for him.
Yeah. Project Podcast.
Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, the Purple Project Podcast rolls on the post-game edition here. Second one of the season. K-State ekes out a win against Southern Illinois by a score of 31-23 last night in the game. And I really missed. Obviously, 20 years ago, yesterday, the horrifying events that took place in New York City with the Twin Towers and the terrorist attack on those as well. And those people, everybody who was affected by that, by the tragedy, everybody was affected by that tragedy. Again, keep those in mind as well. As K-State played on 9/11 last night, so I do want to bring that up, so I would be remiss not to bring that up. K-State total yards 380 to Southern Illinois 276. The pass yards almost pretty much even between the two teams there. With the two quarterback system for Southern Illinois last night, that was effective. Unlike Stanford the other the week prior to that, 176 to 172 there. Rushing yards, K-State doubling, almost pretty much, or pretty much doubling Southern Illinois, 208 to 100 there. Penalties, 5-2. K-State, you don't want to lead that category there, but hey, you still want, you get a win no matter how it costs there. First downs, 24-17. Wildcats, third down conversions, each team converted 4 of those. In Southern Illinois, 2-3 on fourth down. K-State was perfect, 1-1 on fourth down there as well. So there's some numbers on that note here. Where did I have my, there we go. So, all right, so now, obviously, Will Howard comes into the game, obviously. Look at the line for Southern Illinois. Southern Illinois scored all their points in the second quarter there, obviously there, and K-State trailed, Alex, going into the halftime there. 23-21, I went to the concession stands for some grub, and I stood there pretty much for almost to 40 minutes to an hour there. And in that time, Southern Illinois made up a lot of ground while I was up there. So, and obviously Will Howard still inaccurate with his throws, all this hype. And even us hyped it up a little bit. On Will Howard, and now when I think about it, I've thought about it a lot more since last night. He's still got a lot of work to do. The jury's still out on Will Howard. If he can be that guy that steps up. I mean, I know I'm going back off the railroad tracks here, but I'm just going to roll with it here while I'm on him. So, obviously Deuce Vaughn did a lot of the scoring last night in this game. Deuce scored a first touchdown again and capped off the scoring. Basically, put the nail in the coffin on Southern Illinois' chances for the upset there. And we all know what happened last year in the first game of the year. Arkansas State came in Manhattan and upset the Cats. This time, no prevail for this team this time, Southern Illinois, there with a couple of big plays by that defense there, who's looking pretty good for the most part here at start of the season, obviously. But Will Howard, it goes back to what you've been saying all summer long and coming into the fall. I mean, it can't be. I mean, we all know how Deuce number 22 is. Good number 22 is. But if K-State is going to win games in conference play, especially this comes out of this injury. By Scott Thompson comes at a bad time. Nevada comes into Manhattan next week. You got to go on the road. Oklahoma State, OU, Iowa State. We have gone over the schedule over and over on this podcast. Now you bring on Will Howard, who struggled obviously trying to get learn the office last year. Now this is basically year two, and you're still making ill-advised passes, making wrong decisions, almost a scoop and score. I want to say it was a scoop and score, but I'm not sure. It was a scoop and score on Deuce Vaughn's fumble.
Yeah, that was a scoop and score, because that was an amazing play by the defender. That was one of the best punch outs. And that ball went flying back. It looks like it came out of a jug machine. I think they just scooped it and ran it in. Yeah,
he ran that in. So that got him back in the game. And then there were a lot of ill-advised throws. I mean, he made a couple of gutsy throws. I mentioned the Phillip Brooks one. And Malik Knowles, I mentioned him. He had 100 yards. Most of that come when Scott Thompson was in the game. So this will be interesting going forward. But obviously, Malik Knowles had a good game with Will Howard last year against the Texas game, which was clearly Will Howard's best game. But he went back to Will Howard that we all know and love, sarcastic comment. Last year, they ill-advised decisions, not hanging on the football there, fumbling the football, making it look like he could have been picked off at least two more times if they're in that game. If K-State's going to, obviously, they got the roster with Scott Thompson to make some noise in the Big 12. Now, you back up to Will Howard now. He said, and Alex, you just said this is Will Howard's team, or Chris Klieman said this is Will Howard's team. Going forward, now for Nevada game and beyond, and we'll see again about the official status on Skylar Thompson. But, Will Howard, yeah, even he said it. I mean, he's got a lot of work to do, and he still has a lot of work to do. I mean, I don't want to blame the coaching staff for hyping this up, but again, I mean, we both said it. With certain players on this team, you gotta show me you improve. And last night, Will Howard's play looked pretty bad. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it.
It
looked pretty bad. And luckily, K-State's very fortunate. We are very fortunate they pulled out that game. And Will Howard can take his defense for saving that game there, because Southern Illinois had a couple chances there that they could have took in the lead, but K-State bowled up on the defensive end last night. It was very good, especially with Daniel Green coming back from being that targeting call that he got hit on in the season opener.
Huge difference he made.
Huge difference, and there's an interesting stat on him. I'll touch on that in a little bit. But yeah, Will Howard now is his. I mean, he's got to play better, man. I mean, that just clear cut and dry from a fan's perspective. This team's going to go make any noise. If they're even going to come close to Nevada 2-0, they smoked. Who was that point they smoked? I just saw it there.
Idaho State.
Idaho State. I got it. Yep, right here. 49-10. It was 49-10.
Oh, it was a 50. Sorry, it wasn't 60. It was a 50. Okay, I'm sorry.
I have the score right here. It's 49-50. They're almost putting up a 50 burger on the Bengals, who apparently, I guess, by their record, are pretty bad themselves. But we're going to find out a test right away. Especially, we've been talking about Nevada all season long and how this is a big game. And now, you can't overlook them because of the fact of your quarterback.
They're about ranked, Eddie. They're just about ranked. And K-State both are right on the verge of being ranked.
They're right there. So they're right there. Both of them, Nevada and K-State, back-to-back in the rankings there. And if either one of them wins, somebody's going to stay undefeated.
Someone's going to be ranked.
Somebody's going to stay undefeated next weekend, and the other's going to not be ranked. Let's put it that way. So this is a big game for K-State. But Alex, again, I just want your thoughts on Will Howard's performance last night there, and his road to getting better. I mean, there's other quarterbacks waiting in the wings, but Will Howard, he's got to step his game up.
First off, people calling for Jake Rubley, just stop. Like, okay, it's not happening. It's not happening. He's not ready. He's not taking the field. I saw that on Twitter. Like, crazy. I get it. remember what happened when we put Will Howard in when he wasn't hurt last year. I get it. He's a new shiny thing. But he's not even third on the depth chart. It's Jalen Lewis. Thank you. Jalen Lewis, he is third. He's third on the depth chart. So it would be him. Wouldn't be Rubley coming in. So people just stop. I just gotta say that. There's a lot to unpack here with Will Howard and what K-State did. And so people just stick with me as I kind of work through the maze here and try to touch on all the things here. There's really two different things kind of I want to talk about. And one is Will Howard, and the two is K-State and kind of what they did post-Skyler in that game. And first I'll get into K-State, and I'll kind of loop back to Will Howard and kind of, you know, give my thoughts there on him. But with the team, first off, I just want to give Malik Knowles. We would be talking about it way more if it wasn't for the quarterback situation. He balled last night, 112 yards. I know he only had four receptions, but two games in, he looks really good. And like I said, it's only two games. We got 10 more, but he deserves some credit, and no one's talking about him. So I want to make sure he gets credit because he was one of the guys that we said, you got to show me something. And two games in, he has showed me a lot. So I want to give him the credit. But with K-State, when Skyler left the game, you could just feel the stadium. It just deflated. The team was deflated. The stadium was deflated. I can't speak to what it was like in the stadium, but from a TV, it sure seemed like it was deflated at the stadium. And the energy was kind of sucked out. So I thought K-State did a nice job, Eddie, of kind of continuing to stick with the game plan there early on. Will Howard was able to finish the drive, get a touchdown. K-State goes up 14-3. The defense did a nice job of getting a stop. And Will Howard led them on a really nice drive. He led them on a really nice drive. Put them up 21-3, and I thought he looked really composed on the drive. And I was thinking, okay, Chris Klieman called him the best backup in the country after the Stanford game. And this is why. He had a great drive there. But the wheels really came flying off after that. He went from composed to ill-advised very quickly. He was making a lot of bad decisions with the football. K-State was really trusting him, Eddie, to throw the ball there late in the second half. We obviously talked, you know, you mentioned the play on Deuce Vaughn, but on the next two drives, Will Howard threw a bad interception where it just completely sailed on him. And then on the following drive, he threw some really bad balls that should have been picked off and were not located well. And it wasn't on the same page with receivers. We saw him miss wide open guys, and the connection just wasn't there. And the passing game just was not working, Eddie. It didn't look good for whatever reason. It didn't look good, and Southern Illinois took advantage. And K-State had just turned the ball over. They were trying to continue to do what they were doing early on, and the wheels fell off, and they were just giving the ball to Southern Illinois. And you mentioned it, Eddie. You were at the concessions, and Southern Illinois blitzed K-State while you were there, and they took the lead just like that. From 21-3, it went 23-21. And so, you know, the wheels really came off. And at halftime, I was talking to my mom, and I was, because she called me, and I said, K-State just needs to get the win and get the hell out of the bill and figure the rest out later. And they need to just abandon your game plan, abandon what you've been doing, give the ball to your back. You're bigger, you're faster, you're stronger than Southern Illinois. Trust your offensive line, trust your All-American running back, trust him to take you home. Will Howard's not going to get you home in this game. He's not. Trust them to get you home. Trust your defense to come out with Daniel Green in there and have a better second half. And just get the win. I don't care what it looks like. Just get the win and get the hell out. Like, survive in advance. And so that's exactly what K-State did. They gave Deuce the ball. They said, forget it. Yeah, Will's not throwing the ball anymore. We're giving the ball to Deuce. We're giving the ball to Joe Irvin. We're giving the ball to Katie Wright. And we're trusting that offensive line, and this is what we're going to do. And that's exactly what they did, and it worked. Was it pretty? No, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty at all. But K-State outscored them 10-0 in the second half, and they you were able to survive and advance and get the win. And I think that the offensive line and the running backs deserve a lot of credit for the work that they did. You know, Deuce Vaughn, 26 carries, 120 yards, 3 touchdowns. He picked up that offense. Joe Irvin, 8 carries, 47 yards, an average of 6 yards a carry. Joe Irvin stepped in, and he had big, big runs, Eddie. Tricky, do you right? He only had 3 carries, but he had 24 yards on those 3 carries. 8 yards a carry. He did a really nice job in that role. And so, those running backs, Eddie, they took the team, these linemen took the team, and they picked it up. And K-State said, you know what? Fine. You know, we're going to be conservative in our play calling. We're going to be conservative in what we do because we just want to get out of here with a win. And I never thought the K-State defense was playing bad. They had one bad drive. And Chris Kleiman mentioned it in his post game where they missed a lot of tackles and Southern Illinois was able to go down the field and score. But Southern Illinois' other two scores were off turnovers and short fields. And it really wasn't on K-State defense. I really felt the defense had one or two bad drives in the whole game, and that was really it. And so I had confidence in the defense. I had confidence in the defense to go out and do their job. And so, you know, kudos to the defense for shutting down that high-powered Southern Illinois offense. It scored 47 points the week prior and had about 500 yards. K-State shut them down and held them to less than half of that. And that's a credit to the defense. And like I said, was it pretty? No. But Fitz mentioned something, once again, in his post-game walk and talk on his daily delivery that I thought was a good point. He said, I don't know if this K-State team wins this game last year. And Eddie, I do think I know whether or not K-State wins this game last year. I don't think they win this game last year.
They don't win this game. They don't win this game.
K-State did not have a defense that could do last year what the defense did on Saturday night. That defense needed a pitch shutout. But this defense is capable, as you mentioned, they're capable of mowing there, making the stop, picking up the slack, stepping up their game. And that's what you need to do. When you lose a guy like Skylar Thompson, everybody has to step up and play better. And that's what the defense did. That's what Deuce Vaughn did. That's what Joe Irvin did. Jarcadia Wright did. The offensive line did. They all stepped up in the second half. And they were able to get K-State out of that game of the win. And I just don't think they would have been able to do that last year because I don't think they had the players to do it, to be quite frank with you. So I think that is really impressive. And K-State deserves a ton of credit for being able to face all that adversity of Skylar and Will not playing well and really finding a way to say, you know what, this is just, let's just get this win and get out of here. And they were able to do it against a really, really good SDS team in Southern Illinois that, like I said, they're in the top 10. They're going to be competing for a national championship this year. And K-State was able to find a way to get that win. So credit to K-State for getting that win. So like I said, it looked hairy a lot of times this game. And like I said, last year, I don't think that they get this game. So credit to them. To loop back to Will Howard, here's the deal with that. He didn't play good, and it's frustrating, and I don't know. There are a lot of question marks about Will Howard. Chris Kleiman said he was the best backup in the country. Like I said, that's the Stanford game. He didn't look like it last week. I also understand, Eddie, that this last game last night, not last week, last night, this game last night, it was weird. It was a weird deal. You know, Will Howard didn't get any of the reps with the ones. He wasn't prepared to go in. He was going into a situation where all the life was sucked out of that stadium, of that football team, of that coaching staff even. And he was asked to really take on an unfavorable task right there. That was a mighty difficult task that he was asked there. To do. Did he rise to the occasion? Of course not. He didn't rise to the occasion. He admitted as much after the game. He said he wasn't good and he needs to be better. And kudos to Will Howard for standing up and, you know, taking it, being honest about it. But I do want to give him credit, though. He made a big throw there to Phillip Brooks. You mentioned it late in the game. I don't know if K-State wins that game without that play, Eddie. That was one play that he did make where he showed composure late. And if people are looking for kind of a sliver of optimism, that last throw could be one, because that sets up the Deuce Vaughn touchdown. That puts you up 8, and that essentially puts the, I'm not going to say puts the game on ice, but there's no way that Southern Illinois can take the lead. That worst case scenario, you go to overtime. So that was a huge throw. That was a huge throw. I think it was a third down as well, where he hit Phillip Brooks too. So that was a big throw. But all in all, he wasn't good. And I think that we need to see, Eddie, to get back to it. I think we need to see what happens with Will Howard getting a full week to get the staff to the ones, to see him in a game plan where the coaches are actually able to draft a game plan around him, create a game plan around Will and Will's strengths, and not a game plan that was built around Skyler. So I think that we need to see that as well. And, you know, we need to see it with new energy. Like I said, the energy was not good in there, you know, and especially on that football team. Chris Bonnet admitted it, that, yeah, some energy got sucked out of the team, naturally, when you lose a player like Skyler. And, you know, it was just weird. I just feel like it's hard, Eddie, to really judge on that game. Was it concerning? Absolutely. You would sure hope that Will Howard made more progress than what we saw on the field, because it looked like the same Will Howard from last year. That's obviously concerning, because that's not going to fly. K-State's not going to win many football games with Howard playing like that. But I just think that it was just such a weird scenario. We need another game, I think, to get a more accurate sense of who Will Howard is right now as a quarterback. And you know what, Eddie? I might eat these words. I very well may. And you know what? If I'm eating crow in a month, that's fine. I will eat crow gladly in a month on this show, on this podcast. But I'm going to give Will Howard the benefit of the doubt. Nothing tells me it's good. Give him the benefit of the doubt based on what we've seen last year, based on what we saw last night. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I just don't think, Eddie, the coaching staff would be talking him up this much if he had not improved. I don't, and all offseason, we heard K-State reporters saying it wasn't coaches speak. It wasn't. They legitimately thought that he had taken a big step forward. And so it just makes me think, Eddie, it's got to be in there somewhere, and we just didn't see it. We just didn't see it. And like I said, I could be totally wrong, and I could eat crow, and maybe he just can't play on the big stage. Maybe he shrinks there. But that was another thing. It was his first game in front of the full crowd at the Bill. And how much of an effect did that have? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It was just so weird. I feel like I need to give him the benefit of the doubt until he, you know, prove otherwise. So, tons of concerns, Eddie. Tons of concerns. The sky's obviously, the ceiling's not as high as it is with Skyler. I don't even reword that. The ceiling is not as high with Will Howard as your quarterback than it would be if Skyler was your quarterback. But I still think that if Will Howard can manage this football team, he doesn't need to be Skyler Thompson, but if he can manage this football team, I still think they can win 8 games. I really do. Because as I mentioned earlier, Eddie, the defense is better. The offense is better. They're faster. They're stronger. They're more athletic. They're more confident. They're more composed. And they have got a team that they didn't have last year. Will Howard doesn't need to do it all. He just needs to get the ball to playmakers' hands. He just needs to get the ball to Deuce. He just needs to get the ball to Malik. He just needs to get the ball to Tyron Howell, or get the ball to Keenan Garber, or get the ball to Joe Urban. I mean, that's what he needs to do. He doesn't need to take the brunt of this team and carry it. He needs to manage the football game, let his defense rest, get the ball in the playmakers' hands, and if he can do that, this K-State team can win 8 games. I fully still believe that. So you know what? I'm like I said, no fiber of my body is telling me it's a smart idea to do it, but I am going to give Will Howard the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say, let's see him. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see him next week. Let's see what he does with a full week of the ones, with a game plan around him. Can Corey Messingham put him in good positions? Can they help him out? Can these skill players help him out? Can his defense continue to do what they're doing? And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, Eddie. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Is it ideal? No, it's not ideal. Of course it's not ideal. Could I eat crow in case they win five games this year? Of course. 100%. I can see that happening if Will Howard, you know, ends up being the Will Howard of last year. But I just think that we've got to see him with a week of prep. And look, he's going to get thrown in early. You mentioned it, Nevada. That's no joke. That's no joke. KU's not coming to Manhattan next week, okay? As much as we wish they were, they're not. It is Nevada. Nevada is a good football team. They've got NFL players, future NFL players on that roster. And it's going to be a challenge for K-State. So we're going to learn pretty quickly. You mentioned it. And going into Big 12 play, you're playing some tough teams off the bat. So we're going to learn quickly of Will Howard and what he's made of and whether or not he's the real deal. So I think we just need to wait and see.
This is the Purple Project Podcast. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden. K-State 31 going to 2-0, holding off Southern Illinois last night, 31-23. As to record this podcast, this will be up tomorrow at some point, whether that's going to be in the morning or in the evening, so you'll get it to your hands right away. K-State fans, I do want to rebuttal on Will Howard. We're looking at my recorder already almost 50 minutes in. We haven't talked about the defense yet. So I'm gonna run through. You already mentioned the rushing yards. Joe Irvin. Yeah, kudos to him last night for some big runs last night. Dracadia Wright had a couple carries. You already mentioned that. Well, the line on Will Howard. Well, Skylar Thompson first, 3 or 4. Had a costly interception. We haven't even talked about that. Down the middle of the field, double coverage. Can't do that. 96 yards. Will had the line on Will Howard, 8 of 17, no touchdowns. He got sacked once and got picked once there in total of 76 yards through the air. And he also rushed for, 8 carries for a total of 9 yards on the play. Of course, lost on the sack there, so still on the positive side there. Malik Knowles also had a carry on the ground as well for four yards there as well. And then we already talked about Malik for good reason. Had a great night last night. Landry Weber had a big catch in that first half. He ended up with 2 catches with 30 yards there. Deuce had a 2 catches for only a yard. Phillip Brooks had his catch for 21. Keenan Garber had a catch for 5. Jackson Dean also had a catch in this one as well in 3 yards. No Imana Bebe on that list as well. So, that's what I'm talking about right there. Okay, so then Ty Zittner had 2 punts on the evening. Both of them averaged 46 yards. So that's the offensive wrap-up there for this. I'm going to circle back to Will Howard, and then we'll flip it to the defense here real quick for the overall thoughts real quick on that. So Will Howard, you said he wasn't prepared for that moment. Well, he should have been prepared for any moment. I mean, this goes for any backup quarterback, you know, NFL, college. I might just throw it into the existence of high school. You never know where your number's going to be called. You always have to be ready, right? Whether you're backup running back, a backup tight end, or even a third string. If your star receiver goes down, you might be slotted to be the number two or number one guy. You always have to be ready, and this is the same situation. Literally, with Will Howard last year, Skylar Thompson takes that huge hit in game 3 against Texas Tech. He goes out of the game. Will Howard comes on there, and he propels Texas Tech. He prepares K-State to win, right? He did a great job then last night, right? I thought he did better then than he did last night, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
to be totally blunt, I thought he did way better last year than he did last night. But yes, K-State did get the win. So, but you still have to be prepared, especially if you're a quarterback. second string, right? You can't, with all what's going on with the transfer portal and all this other stuff that we talked about, transfer portal and, oh, you're not the starting quarterback. Well, I'm out. I'm getting the hell out of Dodge. I'm going somewhere else. Well, for those of the heart, for the old school people that stay, if they're not the starting quarterback, they stay there to be the backup quarterback. Well, it is your job. I mean, obviously, I mean, yeah, it is your duty to be prepared as a, I mean, like a test, right? You have to be able to come prepared for a test, right? Or it's math, science, or whatever it is, right? So you have to be prepared. And for Will Howard, you have to be prepared at this point to come into the game, because anything can happen to Skyler, right? And it did last night. And, I mean, Will Howard did a great job. Now, you're spot on. I definitely agree 100%. He did a great job on that drive with Skyler engineered. And why Will Howard finished it off, which he didn't get. And then the wheels come off. Okay? I mean, last year, let's see. Go back to the games. TCU. He managed it decently. He didn't play great. He managed it decently, right? And KU wasn't pretty there either, but managed it. Got help from special teams. Phillip Brooks there. And when we go on the road, big game against West Virginia.
Yeah.
Everything just falls apart. Gets self-destructive.
That was wheels falling off the bus for the season.
Yeah, so it's going to be really, really interesting. Now that you've been promoted now as quarterback of this team now, Will Howard, you have to be prepared. So, I mean, I agree with you, Alex, there. But on from my end, as especially as an important position as the quarterback position is, you have to be prepared, because anything can happen to the starting quarterback. He could see what happened to Skyler last night. He could, you know, have a bad game, throw too many interceptions, get injured, do all these variables, right? So that it's for the universal backup quarterback. You have to be prepared. Will Howard was, and then all of a sudden he played bad, and then the coaches made the adjustments that, hey, we're gonna put it in the running back's hands, and the running backs did a great job of making plays. So, you know, hey, it's a win, it's a win. So now Nevada's coming into play, and you're gonna get practice with the ones. So yeah, I agree with what you say there on that front. New week coming up, and Will Howard's gonna have to get his head straight if he's going to get K-State in position. Give K-State a chance. Give K-State the opportunity, the chance. Keep it thing close. Give them opportunity to win this game, knock off Nevada next week, because that's a tall order now in itself. I mean, K-State's got the players. This is a different team. Am I going to say that? Not. I mean, two games into the season, I mean, they dominated Stanford, which was very impressive given the situation last night with USC, which was pretty damn impressive there. So, and then you come out of Southern Illinois winning this game there. Now you face a different opponent, Nevada. So, I mean, I just wanted to give my another input on that before we quickly turn on defense, because we're almost an hour into the Put Reaction podcast there. So,
a lot to break down. A lot to break down after this game.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, it is. It is. It is. Yeah, this turned into a possible two touchdown game to a very close game than it should have been. So, I mean, give Southern Illinois a lot of credit for keeping this game very close. And this is a good transition into the defense. The defense did a terrific job, especially in the second half of the game. Obviously, I did listen to the post game show on the way home, and did catch Chris Klieman's comments. They're saying he wasn't really pleased overall with how his team played. So, but gotta get kudos to this defense though. Julius Brents, leading tackler of the night for K-State, 6 tackles in this ball game. Cody Fletcher second on that list with 5. Felix Ndugay Also with five, Jerron McPherson, T.J. Smith, Daniel Green's play was huge in the second half. Obviously, I already touched on what happened with him early on in this podcast. Coming, his presence, and I have said this really almost every week on this podcast, you cannot afford to lose Cody Fletcher or Daniel Green in the linebacker court. That's just plain simple there. And then I want to go back to the Ryan Hennington play. We roasted him last year, but he's, to me, the surprise of the season to this early on for me. And I got, again, I have more on him here at the end of the show. But Ryan Hennington made an acrobatic play, like a volleyball play there. That got tipped in the air, and I can't remember who grabbed that interception there.
It was Pickle. I think it was Pickle who got that.
It was Jalen Pickle. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Jalen Pickle, Hennington with the volleyball dig there, and keeps the ball alive, and it finds Jalen Pickle there for the interception. And I don't know what took so long with the replay. That should have been a quick
that
minute.
That was ridiculous.
That should have been a quick minute. Okay, that took like 5 to 10 minutes to look at an interception that's clearly did not hit the ground. So a lot of fans are frustrated with that. But the play stood there. So that was a very acrobatic play by the Ryan Hennington, who has seen a lot of playing time here in the first two games. He's played pretty good. He's really improved to this point. Obviously, moving positions does help a lot as well. There as well. So that's kind of my overall thoughts there. K-State really bowled up, as you mentioned, Alex, shutting out Southern Illinois 10-0 and coming up with big plays when they needed and getting into the backfield as well. Khalid Duke had a huge sack late in this game. Jerron McPherson had a sack. I'm looking at the wrong section here, but yeah. So I'm looking at the sacks here. I want to say, yeah. Felix Aduke. Felix Aduke had three sacks. Jerron McPherson had one. Khalid Duke had one. They got to the quarterback. Let's go back up here to my other tab here. Nick Baker for Southern Illinois sacked 5 times in this game. So K-State made way in the backfield there. And also, I mentioned they played 2 quarterbacks. SIU did. Javon Williams Jr. also came in this game for a little bit. Nick Baker to finish the line on him. 16 of 27, an interception, no touchdown passes, and he was sacked 5 times in the backfield. Javon Williams Jr., leading rusher for 46 there, leading receiver for Southern Illinois was Landon Lenore. 6 catches for 63 yards in this game. In the punting game, Jack... I'm probably going to butcher his last name here, but Jack Calhoun punted for 3 times for our average of just a tad over 42 yards there. But yeah, Alex, you kind of mentioned it tonight on his podcast here and there. K-State's defense really stepped up, especially in the second half when it needed to most. And they're going to get tested. They are going to get tested next week against when Nevada comes into Manhattan.
Yeah, you're right. Next week is really going to be our best measuring stick yet for this defense because they're going up against a very good offense. Honestly, Eddie, the offenses seem to just be getting better. I shouldn't say they'll be getting better because I don't know if I'll say Southern Illinois' offense is better than Stanford's, but Stanford really runs a less predictable. I don't know how I'd say it. They run more of a pro style offense might be a good way of saying it. I don't even know if that's the best way. They use more tight ends. They do more of like the stuff out of the I formation and things like that. It's not as much as like a spread offense and high power, five wide type of thing that you see from Southern Illinois, who is a very high powered offense and they do a ton of reverses and a ton of catches and they try to use speed to beat you and it's completely different than what Stanford did. So you're really going to see the K-State defense on two totally different game plans offensively. And they pass those 2 tests, and now you get to that 3rd test against Nevada, which is going to be your best test yet, because, like I said, you're going up against a team that's got a QB who's going to be playing football on Sunday, and some receivers are going to be playing football on Sunday. So you're going to be going up against the best yet, and you're also going to have your backup quarterback making the start, which is going to make you know that much more important. The defense plays well, but getting back to this last Saturday, you mentioned it that Coach Klieman wasn't happy with the way that they played. And one thing he said in his post game was, "We made a lot of mistakes in week two that you expect in week one." So I thought that was interesting. He talked about, we just did a lot of things that, yeah, it's the first game, you continue knocking the rust off, we got the jitters, whatever it might be, but you expect us in game one, not in game two. And we made a lot of those mistakes, and it came on both sides of the ball. He pointed out both sides of the ball. On defense, particularly, he talked about the one drive that it got Southern Illinois back into the game when they were down 21-3, and K-State missed a bunch of tackles, just poor tackling the entire drive. And it allowed that drive to continue on, and boom, it turned into a score, and the wheels kind of fall off. And so that was one thing that he wasn't happy with. But like I said earlier, aside from that drive, I thought the K-State defense did a really, really nice job in this game. You mentioned Daniel Green. It was apparent when he came back in, his impact on the game, and just how important he is. And you also mentioned that K-State can't lose Fletcher Green. They just do not have the depth at linebacker. And we talked about that before the season began when we were going through our position-by-position breakdowns. We mentioned it. They don't have depth. They don't have depth at the linebacking core. They just don't. They just don't have it. And so I think it's good for K-State that their starting linebackers are playing as well as they are, but you don't have the depth. So you don't have a guy like Daniel Green, who's just been a tackling machine the first 2 weeks. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have some poor tackling. I think this part will happen. But you mentioned a good play from Hennington there on that first drive. It was really like a dig in volleyball. He just went down and just got that ball and popped it up, and like you'd be digging a volleyball there on the volleyball court. And Jalen Pingle, the deal with him is Chris Klieman said, we just teach him to run the football. So he was just running to the football, and the football popped up in the air. And he was by the football. That's why you run to the football. Anyone who's playing football, that's why you run to the football. So that's a perfect example why you do it. If you can make a play if someone does what Hennington did there. So it was a great play by Hennington, and that was just a huge play for K-State in general to kind of really set the tone there. But defensively, it wasn't perfect. They had a couple drives that weren't very pretty, but they really stepped up. You mentioned it with getting five sacks, and Duke getting three sacks. Khalid Duke got a huge sack late where they were driving in the half, and he knocked him out of field goal range, or any hope of a field goal, and then it was able to keep it to within two going in the locker room. And so that was a big play from him. And I really thought the secondary did a nice job. We talked about the secondary being a strength, but they were indeed that. They made life difficult on Southern Illinois. And Southern Illinois did get 23 points, but it's really misleading because they really had one drive, like long drive, that led to points. Aside from that, they really couldn't get much going. They got a touchdown on a scoop and score, and then they got an interception that they took back to like the 5 or 10 or something like that. So they only had 5 or 10 yards to go. And that made up 2 of the 3 scores. So, the K-State defense really gave up one score, if you're looking at it that way, in our first, like, full drive. And they just made stops. We talked about it. The stakes were high. The stakes were indeed high with the way Will Power was playing and Skyler being out. It was just mighty impressive the way that they said, you know what? We're going to make plays, because they don't make those plays last year. They just don't. They had some moments where they made some good plays, but this defense has been, it's really interesting, Eddie, because coming into the season, we talked about the offense is really good strength of this team, and defensively, there's a lot of question marks. What are they going to do at linebacker? What are they going to do at defensive end? What are they going to do with some of these positions? And it's really apparent after 2 weeks that what you thought might be your weakness very well may be your strength. all day. That's a good thing. That's not necessarily a bad thing. That's a good thing. And it's because K-State has addressed some of their biggest problems on defense from last year, which was they weren't fast enough and they weren't athletic enough. They're faster, they're bigger, and they're more athletic. And you see it on the football field. They're flying around ways they weren't flying around last year. They're just bigger. They're bigger and they're more stout and they're stronger. And you're going to see less broken tackles. You're going to see them suck guys up, you know, after they get a reception or if they get the ball and a handoff or a sweep or whatever it may be. And so I think that's what you just saw in this game. I just think you saw them, as good as Southern Illinois is, they couldn't match K-State from an athletic standpoint, from a size standpoint, from a speed standpoint. And K-State was really able to hold them down. And it was really kind of the same thing they did with Stanford. They looked a step ahead of Stanford the entire game defensively, and I know Stanford did have some guys running open at times in that game, but K-State just looked faster. They just looked faster than Stanford. And that was apparent when they were on defense. So same deal here. So kudos to defense, Eddie. Kudos for them. Like I said, they played great. They were a huge part of getting this win. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't perfect. But was the second half perfect? It was damn near perfect. So, you know, great job by them. They're going to get their biggest test yet in Nevada, and we're really going to see whether or not they are for real. The Stanford game, I think a lot of people have the same feeling. They look damn good when you watch the game live, but then when you went back and kind of watched the snippets of it after, they weren't quite as good and dominant as you thought. Because you just saw Stanford's they just missed some open guys at times, and they had some opportunities that they missed in that game. That doesn't mean that the K-State didn't play really good against Stanford, because they did defensively, but it made you think, well, let's see them again. Like, let's see them again. We'll see if they can duplicate it. Well, they did. They duplicated it. So now let's see them against this Nevada team who may be able to match their speed and their size and their strength. And the physicality. And let's see how they do against them. And let's see how they do against an NFL QB. And how they do against an NFL receiver. See how they do against these guys. And it's going to be a great test for them. And K-State's going to need them. They're going to need them because with Will Howard in, it's going to be really, really important. And I know I'm dipping away from the defense real quick, but the offense is going to have to help the defense out. You can't leave the defense on the field for extended periods of time. That's K-State's been rotating guys in left and right, and that's when K-State's at their best, Eddie, is when they can rotate guys in, because everybody's fresh, and they continue to do it in the fourth quarter, which is why I preach depth all the time on why K-State beats depth. But they're able to rotate guys in and keep them fresh, and they need to be able to do that. So the offense needs to allow them to get a breather. So the offense is going to need to also sustain drives to help that defense out moving forward, particularly in that depth. In that Nevada game. But kudos to them for Southern Illinois again. And like I mentioned a couple times earlier in the podcast, if it isn't for this defense, you know, K-State probably doesn't get this win. And like I said last year, I don't think K-State does get this win. So kudos to them for pitching a shutout in the second half and really leading K-State to a win.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden for the Purple Project Podcast. This is the reaction edition of the show. K-State coming out of Bill Snyder Family Stadium, their first official home game after K-State went down to Arlington and took care of Stanford. The week prior, come back home, refill the bill. It was packed last night. Very good atmosphere last night. It felt very good to get back to a packed stadium after last year's issues, but felt very nice to get back in there, packed, tell people tailgating, packed environment, and when it was crunch time, it got loud. It felt like a big time game, and K-State did what they needed to do, defeating Southern Illinois last night, 31-23. And next, they're going to be playing Nevada next week, 1:00 Central Time. And as I'm reading this off of KStateSports.com, Gabe's going to be on the Big 12 now on ESPN Plus. There's our plug for ESPN again, Alex. There
yeah,
it is.
True. You know what, Eddie? I gave them all their ESPN Plus plugs, and they decided to come at us and try to break our conference up. So you know what, ESPN? I'm done giving you plugs. I'll turn your little lamp on to watch K-State, and I'll say, ooh, ESPN Plus, but forget you, ESPN. We're suing you. Team Big 12, right, Eddie?
yep, exactly. That's right. So,
yeah, ESPN Plus people, tune in if that is too far off the game.
Yeah, so definitely Nevada comes in. We'll be coming into Manhattan 2-0 as well. And this definitely has that feeling of, you know, you win this game, you're probably going to be ranked going in next week. Nevada obviously led by Carson Strong. He threw four touchdown passes last night to destroy Idaho State there. So it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a good game there. And Will Howard is going to have his work cut out for him. That is for sure. I did want to mention here really quickly here on the Jordy Nelson inaugural softball game, which happened today. Again, me and Kate were in attendance today for that, and that would turn out pretty good. There's quite a bit of good turnout for this one, obviously, and for you guys or K-State game fans and others that weren't able to attend, obviously they had the sponsor game first, Home Run Derby second, and the actual game third between the alumni playing against themselves. So the K-State alumni played the sponsors for the first hour, then a little break, then the Home Run Derby, which of course the guy with the name Jordy Nelson won that one, and of course Jordy Nelson ended the high scoring affair with a bomb the right field. Of course, they made the baseball diamond in the middle of midfield. Pretty interesting setup with that. So there are a lot of softballs that are in the grandstands for the Home Run Derby today obviously. Jeff Kelly, the Lockett's, Aaron Lockett, Kevin Lockett, there, Kendra Wecker took part in that as well. Let's see, Sean Lowe, former K-State quarterback, took place
and
in that.
Former bachelor, Eddie.
Yeah, yeah. Kate told me about that. Yeah. Yep, she told me about that. Uh-huh. Yep, former bachelor. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, because I'm sure that we've got a strong Bachelor Nation listening crowd.
Yep. So he took part in that. Nick Leckie, some of the others. Other alumni, Ty Zimmerman was out there. Jeff Mitty. He had an interesting afternoon out there in the field. So he had a bomb. He had a home run that left to tie the game. They sent it into extras there. But the other team was hitting. Was basically playing pepper with him throughout like numerous spots in the game there as well. So there's been a lot of grumblings around good old Jeff Mitty, which
it sounds like it's one of the basketball team season last year.
Yeah, a lot of grumblings about him, or we'll get to him as we approach that subject, basketball, later on down the road. But he was there. There were a few several others. I don't have the full.
Over there, Eddie.
He was not.
He was not there. Oh, Bruce.
Yeah, Kate was
we need
wondering.
To see him hit some bombs.
Yeah, Kate was wondering if he would show up out there too. Say, no, I don't see him. I don't see him. So
didn't. He was Saturday night, so I'm pretty sure he was in town unless he hit the recruiting trail Sunday morning. But I mean, he was at the game Sunday, Saturday night.
Interesting. But he was down on the field for him, so that was all. Yeah, that was all. I can't remember, obviously, if they had a list of the roster on the website of kstatesports.com, so you can check that out. If you're wondering for more information on that, I'm sure there will be an article about that this week, somewhere down the road on that. I wanted to get to something else. Yes, Ryan Hennington. Yes, I wanted to bring him back up.
Great news for him.
Yep, great news during the inaugural Jordy Nelson softball classic today. Obviously, he was a walk-on. He was a walk-on, and the money that was raised throughout today, he got pretty emotional. But a walk-on, obviously, they want to make this award a walk-on type of deal from here on out. Ryan Hinton, they pretty much got a scholarship today. Congratulations. Obviously, I mentioned him being the surprise player for me, early surprise for me, and well-deserved. I mean, he's proved me, again, you got to prove me wrong. Got to go out here and show that you have been improved. Ryan Hinton has been one of those players, has got the job done, obviously, for a Junction City kid. I did not know that about him as well.
Hear that?
So he played under good old Coach Zimmerman for the Junction City team over there. And oh, by the way, speaking of which, Manhattan took care of Junction City high school-wise over here on Friday night as well. I don't have the score in front of me right now. I cover, for those of you who don't know, I've been doing, well, I'm going to be doing the play-by-play for Rock Creek high school football for the next couple of months. And Rock Creek is 0-2. On a season, so they're gonna be going. They're gonna be taking on, going there. Of course, both of these games are not district play. So this will be coming with Marysville on the road. This will be their last non-district game before they get into district play. And I guess the good news for Rock Creek, at least for us, some half those teams in the district don't look good. I mean, we'll see what happens there. That's neither here or there, so.
Well, I'll tell you this, Eddie. I looked up the Manhattan Junction City score. Manhattan beat Junction City 37-21 for anyone who's curious of that score. 16-point win.
Yeah, so that's that. So there we go. There we go, folks.
Thank you, Max Preps.
Yep. Thank Max Preps, definitely, for that. So a little high school football here on Triple P here as we get here as we are starting to close things down here on the podcast here as we're recording this September 12th, 2021. Eddie Greer, Alex Zane for the Purple Project Podcast. And for those of you who are very new to the podcast, just tuning in or just downloading this for the first time, we're all about K-State Athletics. The Sunday night game just went final. Rams 34 and the Bears 14. I do want to talk Big 12 before closing this out here. If I can find my other tab here. Yes, so there are a few games. Obviously, you know, with Texas, that sticks out.
I already knew what that laugh was about before you even said it.
Yes, welcome to the SEC. Texas, they get destroyed on Arkansas. As I'm trying to pull up the score here, maybe Alex already has it pulled up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the score of the Arkansas-Texas game was 40-21 Arkansas. And Arkansas at one point, Eddie, was up 33-7. And Arkansas social media was trolling Texas the whole damn way. I loved every minute of it.
Yep. So Texas. So there you go. That's what you're gonna get. You're gonna pretty much get your butts kicked. So there you go. Down the line here, just to run through real quickly, Coastal, and I talked about this on my post game summary last week. I didn't understand how KU hype train this early. Well, yeah, you're back to reality. Coastal Carolina took care of them. 49.
What was funny, Eddie, is a lot of KU fans were pumped up that they lost by 27. I was like, well, okay. I mean, sure.
Well,
like, yeah, you know, feel good. I mean, if you lost by 27 points, I never would feel good after a 27-point loss. But hey, yeah, I mean,
well,
you do you, KU. You do you.
Yeah, you do what you need to do there. 49-22. That was a Friday night game. The 17th ranked Coastal Carolina taking care of business. Coastal Carolina 2-0. OU after the scare against Tulane waxed Western Carolina 76-0. And good old Matt Campbell can't get past Iowa for whatever reason. 27-17 in Ames. Iowa gets it done yet again. Kurt Ferentz owns Matt Campbell. That's his cut and dram drive there. And Matt Campbell can't get a win against Iowa to save his...
I don't think he's ever beaten.
No, he hasn't. He has not. He has not beaten Iowa. It is Tanner, Iowa State. That is crazy there. Oklahoma State, again, another scare here. This time against Tulsa, 28-23. In that one there, and TCU having to hang on against California. TCU and Oklahoma State 2-0 respectively. TCU 34, California 32, and West Virginia off of the disappointing loss against Maryland. Shuts out Long Island University 66-0, and of course Baylor does the same, or well, at least Texas Southern got a touchdown. But the same thing in there, a pair of 66s to end the Big 12 scoreboard there on Texas Southern, 66, wait, Baylor, Texas Southern, 66-7 there, almost looked at the wrong score, and a Texas Tech there having to hold off Stephen F. Austin. Where have you heard this at? Oh yeah, basketball.
Yeah.
Haha, Texas Tech. Texas Tech happened to hold off Stephen F. Austin football 28-22. Of course, I'm referring to the one of the early round upsets there where Stephen F. Austin actually was Texas, not Texas Tech, so excuse me on that.
Right, it was Texas.
My bad, but still a Texas team though. Still a Texas team. Still a Texas
team. They literally drove Shaka Smart right out of Texas.
Yep. So, Alex, any initial thoughts on... Actually, let me put it this way since we're close here on time here. What is your surprise so far in the Big 12? What's surprising you in the Big 12 so far? I know we ain't played no conference games yet.
Yeah.
But what stands out? What stands out to you right now?
Yeah, for me, the biggest surprise, to be 100% honest... Sorry, Texas, it's not you because you're overrated every year. Look, Texas is good. I mean, I think that there's potential there for them. But Texas is just doing Texas. That doesn't surprise me. And the Iowa State one doesn't really surprise me much either because you mentioned Iowa owns Iowa State. And Iowa State always starts the season slow for whatever reason. So that one doesn't really surprise me either. I think the biggest surprise for me, Eddie, aside from the K-State defense, which I think has been one of the biggest surprises in Big 12 season, coming in. But one of the biggest surprises for me is Oklahoma State. They have really struggled in back-to-back games now. It's not just a one-game thing. You know, they had the game against Missouri State, who is not a team to write home about. They're no Southern Illinois. They're no North Dakota State. They're no Northern Iowa who played Iowa State. They're not saying they're bad, but they're nothing special. And Oklahoma State really struggled against them, and Oklahoma State really had to kind of make a goal line, a red zone stand there in that game to beat them by 7 in week one. And you thought, well, okay, you know, maybe that's because they didn't have the QB. He was in the COVID protocol. You know, let's see what happens when Spencer Sanders comes back. And you know, he comes back against Tulsa, who, granted, is a better team than Missouri State, but still they are 0-2, and their first week of the season, they did lose to UC Davis, I believe it was, 19-17. And so, Oklahoma State did it again. I mean, they came out, and they got down, actually, in that game. It was 17-14 they were losing in the second half, and they were able to come back and win that game by 5. 21 points in the fourth quarter. It was what Oklahoma State did to get that W. That was with their QB. And so I think we're going to learn a lot about Oklahoma State week 3 because they go to Boise. They go to Boise State, and Boise State's a good football team. And so I think that that's going to be a good measuring stick to figure out, okay, were those first two games blips, or is Oklahoma State maybe just not as good as we thought that they were going to be? Which, look, I'm not going to complain, Eddie, if they're not as good as we thought they were going to be, because maybe they can go into Oklahoma State and get a win to begin the season, because they have, like, underwhelming in their first two games, and if they're just starting slow out of the gates or whatever's going on, maybe that's an answer. But I think that's the biggest surprise, because I look at Oklahoma State and I saw them as kind of the top 25 team. And it's just been really underwhelming in those first two games. So, they're favored. You know, Boise's favored against Oklahoma State. in Boise, and I think that game Saturday night is going to be an interesting one, and we're going to learn a lot about Oklahoma State and whether they're for real or not, because, like I said, they're leaving a lot to be desired with two subpar performances. So I might say they're probably the biggest surprise, and I'm eager to see them. I think the two most intriguing games this week are indeed K-State Nevada and Oklahoma State Boise State. Number one, because K-State and Oklahoma State have some situations, some interesting situations right now, where they're trying to figure some things out. But number two, those are two good football teams that are going to provide challenges. And then just a quick dip ahead, West Virginia's playing. Virginia Tech is ranked 15th in the country. So, interesting week. And Oklahoma plays Nebraska, by the way. You talk about an old Big 12 rivalry. That right there was an old Big 12 rivalry. Every year the day after Thanksgiving, my mom used to go to Nebraska. And she remember going back to school early to go catch the Nebraska-Oklahoma game. That used to be a huge rivalry. So, I know Oklahoma is a... is really kind of a lame duck member at this point, but that is a very intriguing game. I think Oklahoma will probably blow them out because Nebraska is but it's going to be an interesting week of Big 12 play, and I think that we're going to get some questions answered, Eddie.
Definitely, if we can get another day schedule. I know we said we could get two of these things, obviously. It's we'll work that out off the recording side of stuff. But yeah, definitely looking down this slate down here. Don't have enough time to go into all this. But yeah, definitely a lot of good games on the Big 12 slate, including K-State and Nevada right here in Manhattan, Kansas. It's going to be big game. That's for sure. But K-State comes out of Manhattan on their home turf. First official home game of the 2021 season in knocks off Southern Illinois 31-23. Obviously, I'm going to turn it over to Alex real quick for the Chiefs. Coming back today as we're recording this podcast here, kind of to start to close this out here on the podcast here. Chiefs defense didn't really look particularly that good in the first half,
yeah.
But they turned around in the second half, and then big plays like we're accustomed to now from Mahomes to Tyreek to Kelce there, and then making big plays there, and then the defense intercepts Baker Mayfield late, and the Chiefs hang on to win at home. Huge. To start off the season there, so I'll let Alex have the floor quickly on that, and I'll probably put on the closing music there here in a couple minutes. So, Alex, what are your thoughts on the Chiefs there after that win today?
Yeah, well, you know, Eddie, first off, I want to give kudos to the Browns. I think that they are going to be probably one of the best teams in the AFC this year. I kind of thought that coming in, especially with some of the injuries that Baltimore has had. I think that kind of propels the Browns just a little bit ahead of the Ravens, in my opinion, especially, kind of looking at the Browns and kind of what they've done this offseason, too. So I knew coming in it was going to be a really difficult game because the Browns were hungry because the Chiefs knocked them out in the playoffs last year. And so I knew that they were going to come out hungry. They're going to come out some fire. And I was a little worried, Eddie, because... The Chiefs were without three starters on defense. They were without Tyrann Mathieu in the back end. They were without Willie Gay, their linebacker, on their second line. And they were without Frank Clark on the front line. So they were missing a starter on all three levels of the defense. And I was quite worried about that. And I think my worries were affirmed in the first half. The loss of Frank Clark up front was very noticeable when the Chiefs could not get pressure on Baker. And they couldn't really set the edge there on Frank Clark's side to stop the run. Frank Clark's one of the Chiefs' best run defenders, and so I think that was really noticeable, particularly there in the first half. And then on the linebacker level, I thought the Chiefs actually did an okay job there. But once again, I think they could have done a better job slowing the run down at Willie Gay in their second-year linebacker, who really flashed in the preseason as well. And Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, that was the biggest one for them. I mean, it was very apparent, his absence in the secondary. He's really good at making sure everybody is where they are when they need to be there. And and you just saw some breakdowns on the back end because he wasn't back then. And so those injuries, it felt like a perfect storm, Eddie, for me, for the Chiefs to lose week one. I really wouldn't have been surprised if the Chiefs lost. I kind of had a feeling this was going to be the case coming in. I really wasn't worried about it because I have a ton of confidence in the Chiefs, and I understand that this was kind of a bad matchup and that they had some injuries in the defensive side of things. But I was really proud of them, to be 100% honest. I do with the way that they kind of turned it around second half of the defense, and they came out and they made plays. They made stops that they need to do. And I told somebody after the game, I said, look, that's why the Chiefs are a championship-caliber football team. You know, they're playing a really good team that came into Arrowhead, has played an A game, and the Chiefs are missing guys on defense. And they still find a way to make plays and take advantage of the very few mistakes that the Browns made and make them pay for it. And that's what championship teams do, and it's what the Chiefs are so good at doing, and it's exactly what they did. You know, I thought offensively the Chiefs played pretty well all game long. I thought they kind of got away from the run a little bit too much in the first half. They did a lot better job of kind of balancing it out there in the second half, and there just wasn't much Cleveland really could do to stop the Chiefs' offense, which is pretty much the norm at this point. Their defensive line did create some problems, but the Chiefs were able to alleviate it. Patrick Mahomes did what Patrick Mahomes does. Threw for over 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, rushed for another touchdown. He just did what he does. Tyreek Hill had almost 200 yards receiving. I think Travis Kelce had 2 touchdowns, if I'm recalling correctly. The offensively, the Chiefs did what they do. Everybody talked about the Super Bowl being a blueprint for how to stop the Chiefs' offense. And no, that wasn't the deal. People can say that all they want. I don't buy into that at all. I think more than anything, it was the fact that the Chiefs had a crappy offensive line of backups. And Mahomes had no time to do anything, and they couldn't run the ball. And so, I mean, I just don't buy into that. I think that the Cleveland's got one of the better defenses in the NFL, and the Chiefs put 33 upon them, even when things weren't a well-oiled machine at times. So it was a great win for the Chiefs, Eddie. You know, they had a lot of injuries, and they had a lot of perseverance. They had to really persevere, I should say, through a lot of adversity in this game, and they were able to do it. And you know, that's why they're a championship team. And there's no doubt that there are still some concerns on the defense side of the ball, but I really think that once they get Tyrann Mathieu back and they can get Frank Clark back and some of those guys back, it'll help, particularly Tyrann Mathieu. So, who he is healthy, by the way. He is healthy. He was on the COVID list for 2 weeks. And he finally got activated yesterday. It wasn't enough time in practice in 2 weeks, so it wasn't enough time for him to get ready and get in the game. But he'll definitely be back next week. And it doesn't get any easier, Eddie. They go to Baltimore to play the Ravens week 2. So buckle up. It doesn't get any easier week 2. So we'll see him on Sunday Night Football next week.
We won't record then, I suppose.
We will not be recording then.
We'll be
sitting in front of the TV.
Yep, so I'll be sitting in front of the TV then. So, yeah, we'll mark that off. And we'll probably just go ahead and, for Nevada game, reconvene on Saturday night to record the reaction edition of the show. And then as of the next edition of the show, we hope to probably get back together at some point. I'm thinking about Thursday. Kind of talk about more about the BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF move to the Big 12, which was the dominant headline there. Good congratulations to all those teams. Obviously, BYU, we've been talking about that for forever now, and now that's official. UCF as well, Cincinnati. We kind of been talking about that before he was even brought up anyway. So
yep.
Now that's a reality. That's a huge gift for the Big 12. And yeah, that's you lose 2 teams and you gain 4. So that's huge, huge for the Big 12. So a lot more on that on the next edition of the podcast. But K-State game 2. Winners last night at home, Bill Snyder Family Stadium, refill the bill, packed crowds are back, at least here in Manhattan at least, 31-23 winners, led by, once again, Deuce Bond and Malik Knowles. They're leading the way for the Cats. Big game against Nevada. We look to preview that as well. Again, I'm leaning towards, I'll let you know on Facebook Messenger, Alex, on that. Leaning towards,
sounds good, man.
Leaning towards Thursday to record that as well. So definitely, you're not a subscriber to the Pro Project Podcast, you better get on board. This is going to be a roller coaster ride. Just like last year, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. Hang on to your belts. Alex Aiden, Eddie Greer, go Cats. Alex, you have the last word on this one.
Hey, thank you, K-State, for showing up. We need you again for Nevada. Fill the bill. They're going to need you for Nevada. Go support your team. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.